ago, 13 men gathered in the upper room to celebrate the Paschal mystery, the Paschal feast. One of them knew that in a short time that he was going to betray the Savior, turn Jesus over to the Roman guard. Jesus sort of knew that in a few hours that he was probably going to be arrested, handed over, and put to death. But for the other 11, I'm sure that they were sort of probably obvious. They just sort of thought that this was another celebration of the Jewish Passover with their teacher and their master, and really weren't quite sure what was happening. And yet, you know, here Jesus, in the midst of, you know, knowing that he was probably going to be put to death shortly, as we heard in the gospel, that Jesus was not so much concerned with what was going to happen to him, but was more concerned with his disciples. And he wanted to give to them a sign of his love, a sign of his powers to be able to help them through what was going to transpire, not only in these next couple of days, but in, you know, the weeks and months to come. And in giving that gift to not only his disciples, of giving that gift to his followers, of giving that gift to us. That, you know, from this time on, is that Jesus was going to be able to come really present in a very special way to all those who believe in him, in his body and his blood. And that we were going to have an opportunity to become one with him, and in becoming one with him, of truly to be able to be close to him, to feel his power, to feel the blessing of and the grace of the Holy Spirit, and the love of the Father. Tonight, Holy Thursday, is a very special night for all those who call themselves Christian, as we remember the Last Supper. But for us as Catholics, it is especially important because, you know, we are sacramental people. We believe in the sacraments. And tonight, you know, for those of us who believe, it is a very important and special night. On Saturday, I met with this couple, we were sort of talking, and it came up that, you know, that I had once been a priest. You know, Sam is still a priest, but, you know. And we started talking about religion. And I said, you know, I think, you know, the purpose of religion is helping people to find a closeness with God, with Jesus, somehow to be able to live their faith, and to somehow to make faith in Jesus and God important in their life. And the thing is I really, you know, believe that. And I think that, you know, because of that, we have various ways of doing that. And various religions have various ways of offering that. You know, maybe it's, you know, through the scriptures. That some people feel that, you know, that, you know, for me to really get close to Jesus is to sit there and to read the Bible, you know, every day. To spend time in scripture and in prayer. Others sometimes it's just not only that, but it's in, you know, and really, you know, sort of following the Ten Commandments. Of trying to make sure that, you know, that I don't cuss, I don't swear, I don't drink, you know, that, you know, we prohibit dancing. And the thing is that, you know, we really just sort of follow a very strict life. For others, you know, it's different ways. But yet, you know, somehow the whole purpose of religion is to somehow to bring God present to us and to help us to live our faith daily. And for me, you know, I am so glad of my Catholic faith because it does for me. My Catholic faith came to me from my parents. You know, I remember my father. Now, my father was brought up a Lutheran. When he decided that he was going to marry my mother, a good Catholic girl, he went to her, and like it was for so many, including my father-in-law, that he was told that if you wanted to marry me, is that you had to become Catholic. So he started taking the instructions, and decided to go through with it. So he went to tell his parents that, you know, who were, you know, Lutheran. I never knew my grandparents. I don't think they were real active Lutherans, but they were Lutherans. And he told his mom and his dad. And his mother said, you don't pray too much. You don't go to church too much. So if this gets you to go to church a little bit more and gets you to pray a little bit more, so be it. Great. And the thing was, is that my father embraced that. And the thing was, is that on Sunday, the most important thing we did as a family was to go to Mass. And we would go as a family, and when we got to church, you know, you just didn't sit there and sit. Your dad made sure, as well as mom, is that we were involved. Now, Dad died in 1962. He died before Vatican II was completed. So for him, the Mass was in Latin. You know, so he would go to church, and he would sit there. And when Mass began, he would take out his rosary and start praying his rosary. And he would do that up until, you know, the readings and the homily. And then when that was over with, he'd go back to the Latin, he'd go back and finish his rosary. And then he would take out his prayer book. And he would go through and he would pray the devotions before Eucharist and different prayers up until it was time for communion. And then he would receive communion, you know, and then go back to his book and say the prayers after communion from his prayer book. My mom has it. We just found it the other day, and it's very precious to me. But the thing was, is that as he left church, he would say, boy, that really was something. I just really felt good, and I got so much out of it. And so as I grew up, because, you know, I loved my parents, and the Catholic faith and Mass and Eucharist was so important and special to them, is how it became so important and special to me. And I think, you know, that as we sit there and, you know, deal with our faith, that we sort of ask ourselves, you know, what brings our faith to life? You know, we've got three boys. Okay, and all three boys were raised Catholic. We have one son who is still a member of the Catholic Church. He goes to communion. He goes to church on Christmas, Easter, maybe once or twice more if there's something special comes up. But he really is not too great at what I would call living his faith. He's a good guy. I know God's part of his life. His wife is she's very, I would say, pretty good, very devout, and the children were brought up. And our other two sons, who, when they married, you know, became, joined different faiths to be with their wives. And it's very interesting because, you know, they became very much involved in those faith and living that faith. And so as I look at it, you know, I says, well, you know, they just weren't meant to be Catholics. In the whole scheme of things, you know, with their family and what faith means to them as couples and as family, that's important to them. But for me, as I look down, it is, you know, my faith, my Catholic, my sacraments. Because that's the way in which Jesus comes to us and touches us. And then if you notice it, you know that throughout life, you know, at birth we have baptism. As we enter into adulthood, we have confirmation. You know, as we reach the age of reason, we realize we start screwing up and doing things, we have the sacrament of reconciliation. And of course, the sacrament of Eucharist, where we become one with Jesus, and Jesus becomes one with us. And I truly believe that, you know, if you want to be one with Jesus, if you want to be as close as Jesus, that there is no better way to be one with him than when we receive the Eucharist. If we believe that and live that. And then, you know, as we get ready to go into life, you know, we have ordination so that, you know, that the work of Jesus may continue. And then we have marriage, the blessing of the couple, in the order to be fruitful and multiply, that your life may be together. And then when we're dealing with sickness and death, we have the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. All these ways in which Jesus comes to us in a very special way and touches our life, grants us grace and helps us to get through and to deal with that. And it's a very special gift. As I was meeting with this couple also, she said, well, you know, my father was Catholic for a long time. He was very avid. But then he got upset with sort of the, you know, the hypocrites, you know, the people that, you know, go to church on Sunday and do all this praising, then Monday they seem to be going back to their old ways of doing everything. And as I was thinking about that, you know, let's look at, you know, the first 11 people to receive the Eucharist and what happened to them. One of them betrayed Jesus. 10 of them, one of them denied Jesus. Well, you know, Judas didn't receive the Eucharist. So Peter basically denies Jesus 3 times. 9 of the other 10, basically, when Jesus is arrested, they go and they run off and they hide. They lock themselves in a room. John, he's there at the cross with Mary. So the thing is that, you know, after they received the Eucharist, you know, all of a sudden it just really didn't change their life right away. It would only be after later. So the thing is that Eucharist is not just a guarantee that, you know, that once we receive it, that all of a sudden we're going to be this close to Jesus. There's a lot that we have to do in understanding and appreciating and celebrating that we do. And the thing is, with all religions, you know, you have a lot of people who are very good and you have a lot of people who are hypocrites. You who go away and do everything. And sometimes, you know, it's differences like that. So the thing is as we gather tonight, let us just be thankful for the very special sacraments we celebrate tonight. The sacraments of Eucharist, in which Jesus becomes one with us, in which we become not only one with Jesus, but with those who believe in him, with those who have gone before us, you know, who died believing. For the sacrament of ordination, so that Jesus may always be with us in this very special and very close way. And to do that, to remember that the whole reason for Jesus to become part of our life leads us to service. It leads us to serving God, to serving Jesus, to serving our spouses, our families, one another, and our community. Now sometimes, you know, that's the real test of how strong and how deep our faith is how much we're willing to serve the needs of others, of those we know and those we don't. As we begin this Easter celebration, of this Holy Week celebration, let us be strengthened by the love of God and by the love of one another, so that we may truly go out and to serve and to be, you know, filled with the Lord and to be messengers of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.